All right, welcome back to another episode of Rock M Reacts. Back again after a month and a half hiatus-ish. Lots happened between then and now. We just got done at the Florida game. Mizzou falling 79-67. Tamar Mates' 36-burger was not enough as the Tigers were dominated on the glass. Florida came up with a great defensive game plan, as both coaching staff said post-game, that really propelled them to a key road win. But Tigers fall, still winless in conference play, fall to 0-5 overall in the SEC. Start with positives. Positive, Tamar Bates, 36 points, was virtually unstoppable. Golden said after the game that team didn't do a good enough job forcing him to his right, defending without fouling. But at the end of the day, Bates made them pay for every time he got an open look. It was going in. I said during the game, I mean, in the zone was the perfect way to describe how Bates was tonight. It's been how he's been playing for these past couple of weeks. Just what this kind of culminating performance from Bates, what was most impressive about it?
Yeah, he was really just getting what he wanted. And I remember Dennis Gates talking about it over the summer, that he would get really mad at Tamar whenever he would pass up an open look, and that he would never want any of his players to ever pass up an open look. And I can say with 100% certainty that Tamar Bates did not pass up a single open look, especially because he was creating a lot of them himself. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think back to what I saw from him at Indiana when he committed to Mizzou, watching some of his tape, and there were certainly flashes of like pretty solid on-ball scoring ability. I did not think it would get to this. Mm-hmm. And he talked about post-game how he credited to Mizzou's development, how he's been kind of like, at least I think he's been kind of forced into this role, because I mean, really, you can happily disagree with me. I don't think anybody else has really picked up the scoring mantle super well other than Sean East. So I was incredibly impressed. He was scoring from all three levels. He looked super confident. He was sizing guys up with confidence. He was doing a little, like, I'm not comparing him to Michael Jordan, everybody calm down, but there was a little tween setup. I was like, you know what, that kind of looked like Michael Jordan. Oh, and wow. I know we're already 2 minutes and 8 seconds into this reacts. We've gone a little off the rails.
You're insane.
But this is what happens when your team is a little winless, very winless in conference play.
Quinn hasn't been on this for a couple months, and now he really wants to make a name for himself, you know, really, really putting out these bold claims.
Yeah, I'm a big clickbait guy. Big clickbait type of guy over here. But I was really impressed with Tamar. Yeah. What do you think?
And I was going to quickly add, he did come in, you mentioning his time at Indiana, he came in to kind of people saying, oh, he's a really great perimeter shooter, sharp shooter guy. You know, you didn't expect him to be the slasher that he is. So, yeah.
Well, he's becoming one of the best players in this conference, I think, in my opinion. You can really just tell that his confidence and everything is just rising. And this team, even though they're not winning, they kind of needed that. Sean East, he's been battling, you know, with some illnesses and stuff, and he's been struggling lately. So the Tigers, they need someone to step up and score. And I don't remember the last Mizzou player to score nearly 40 points in a game, but you can tell he's really locked in. Like you said, Quentin, it's really a credit. He credits it to the coaching staff's development, which is something positive that you want to see from your coaching staff. But, you know, man, he was just unstoppable. He had that 6-0 run by himself in the first half, and, you know, he had 17 points, I believe. But, you know, he just played all around great basketball. It'd just be nice, you know, if someone else steps up there alongside of him.
I think that was kind of the sense you got from him post game was, I mean, he didn't look like he was enjoying himself. I mean, he would have taken, Gates said himself, he would have taken 8 points in a win, much more than 36 in a loss. And I think Bates was clearly very upset that that's the way that ended up. So, but on that same point that y'all are touching on, this team needs more. It's been Bates this past month, and Sean East has been throughout the season for the most part. But you saw it tonight. East, not, as Data mentioned, a little bit under the weather, just not really playing like himself. Foul trouble throughout the night as well. Ended up fouling out. This team needs more contributors. You know, you expected it coming into the season from veterans like Nick Honor and Noah Carter. You know, maybe some of these freshmen can step up. The transfers you obviously thought would step in. John Tanjay, of course, going down for the season. That's expected contributor you lose. Caleb Grill, I think the injury to him is not even still being talked about enough, just how different this team's record might be. I think you're at least winning one or two of these games close games that you've dropped with him in the lineup. But the reality is you have what you have and the cards that you were dealt. Where in these next couple weeks to get over this hump, where can this added production on both ends of the floor, really, but especially offensively, come from to help out Bates and East?
They just need to be more consistent. There have been so many games this season. I think this game also falls into that category of different guys looking really good for stretches, but they haven't been able to continue that for the entirety of the game. We've seen Noah Carter get into shooting grooves. We've seen Nick Honor, even if he's not even shooting, when he attacks the basket, he's able to find open guys out for three. We've seen, obviously, Sean East, health notwithstanding, his shot creation, his shot-making ability has skyrocketed this year. I'm trying to think of anybody else who's also shown off. Like, Jesus,
yeah,
when he feels like it, his aggressiveness has gone way up in the past few weeks. Like, he can do it, but it's just about putting it together over an entire 40 minutes, and that hasn't happened yet.
It's the focal point of my sidebar. You can catch it tomorrow on rocketnation.com as well.
But yeah, nice. like you said, Quentin, it's a consistency thing. Some nights, you know, you'll have Bates and East going off, but the other nights it's going to be Carter and Honor. It'd be nice to see, you know, all of them come together. And like you said, coming in this game, Jesus had 43, it was something around 40% of Mizzou's bench points in SEC play, which is shocking and kind of alarming. I personally want to see more production off the bench, more consistency off the bench. And it's kind of hard to know where you're going to get that, because injuries have plagued this team, with Tanjay not being healthy really all year, and Caleb Grill, which, oh, I miss Caleb Grill so much. I do
never
miss him so much.
I hear those words.
I know. I missed him. But
just given he was at Iowa State,
But you know, and your freshmen, they're trending upward, but you know, it's clear that they're not there yet to be true scoring threats. So I would like to see more consistency off the bench, personally for me. But you know, you just don't know where you're gonna get it from. You know, you would like to get it from maybe Shaw, Vanover. You know, they've had some bright spots. You know, it'd be nice if Kurt Lewis or someone also could step in there, but you know, those are just questions that just haven't been answered yet throughout the season. And conference play, where this team has been so close to getting some victories.
And when it's a program that Ennis Gates runs, that prides itself on playing 9, 10, 11 guys consistently, and they all are able to step in there and give, you know, significant minutes in production, you haven't had that with this year's team compared to last. You thought early on you might have it, and the freshmen were flashing, and you saw the transfers each have their moments. But as things have settled down, the pace of play in the SEC and the physicality, it's tough for any freshman to step in, you know, and immediately really find success with that. They're all going to be a work in progress. I think Kurt Lewis is still kind of catching up to the speed of this game as well, at this level. So it's just there's not enough options right now that are capable of contributing at a high level in the SEC. You know, they could do it. You saw flashes against the Jackson States and the South Carolina States and the Loyola Marylands, but you're not going to be able to see it now, at least in the current moment. They have a long way to go in terms of development. But, yeah, it's the bench really at this point. You need these starters need some help. These veterans need some help. I think the best thing for this team, at least in my eyes at this point, regardless if it comes in a loss, is for Nick Honor and or Noah Carter to have an explosion one game, and they can finally just get their confidence back, you know, feel comfortable within this offense again. Because it's inconsistency is the theme of the night. It is Noah Carter has a couple great early in this game tonight. I even thought Noah Carter was really had a couple great post possessions and, you know, really working his way down low, great footwork and finishing well. But then you didn't see it the rest of the game. And, you know, it's similar with Nick Honor, had a couple of nice takes, but you just got to see it for 40 minutes. And I think, you know, it's just something the team has talked plenty about. Honor and Bates both talked about just consistency tonight is the main thing. So as we move forward, we'll start off short term. Upcoming three-game stretch, two-game road trip next week, starts in College Station on Tuesday, ends in South Carolina, rematch on Saturday. Following week, Arkansas comes to Mizzou Arena for round one with those lovely individuals to the south of the state. This next three-game stretch, give me what record you want to see Mizzou ideally, what record you want to see Mizzou come out with, as well as just the improvements that you want to see from this team. Approaching a two-game road stand, that will be very difficult, and a game against Arkansas that could really bolster some of the reputation of the season if you're able to beat your rival.
Ideally, you go 3-0 and the season's completely revived and sunshine and rainbows proliferate Columbia, Missouri. But unfortunately, that ideal world is very hard to...
And it's a cool 2 degrees outside, so not sunshine and rainbows.
Right. It sounds amazing, but I'm not sure if that's going to actually come to fruition. Realistically, just getting at least one. Mm-hmm. And that sounds kind of crappy at the moment. And expectations have drastically lowered as the season's gone on. And I can say for certain this is the most downtrodden I have seen Mizzou basketball since I started covering them last year, because obviously last year was all sunshine and rainbows, and those have all gone away for the most part. And Nick Honors even said it in the post game. They just have to go 1-0 every game. They can't dwell on the game previous, and they can't worry about what's after the game in front of them. Obviously, we saw with the football team this year. Just having a 1-0 mentality can really help sometimes.
STP.
And they have to play like they have something to prove. And they got to start standing on business more often than not.
Used everyone, checked every box.
Maybe business will start booming. But Nick Honor said it, like, they're not right there, but they're not as far off as I think people think they are. I mean, Todd Golden said it himself in the press conference. Yep. He doesn't think Mizzou's 0-5 SEC record is accurately representative of how they've played. Like, the Alabama loss, yeah, they lost by 18, but they were in that game for most of the game. They played Kentucky pretty close.
Yeah.
A lot closer than other really good teams that you might think are better than Mizzou. So I just think they have to not necessarily keep doing what they're doing, because that has resulted in losses. But just, again, being more consistent, putting everything over 40 minutes instead of 5, 10, or 20.
And ideally, realistically, I can see a 2-1 stretch over these next three games. You know, they're going to want that South Carolina game back, and they're going to get an opportunity coming up here. And Arkansas, they've been up and down. You know, they're still a talented team, but they've had their struggles too. A&M's, of course, going to be tough, but, you know, I see 2-1 being really realistic. You know, they're going to have to play some good basketball, but like you said, they've been close pretty much all year. And you know, it's frustrating to see, but it's also kind of encouraging that they haven't given up on the season and they're just not getting blown out. But you know, 2-1's realistic. It can realistically be 0-3, 1-2, but I can see a 2-game stretch somewhere over here, I would say.
I'm with you on the same vein that I believe this team's breakthrough relative to what this team is coming, and I think a breakthrough for this team is going 2-1 in this stretch. I think that is just, at this point, you are looking for a back-to-back win, back-to-back wins for that. And I agree with you. I think Carolina game, there's gonna be a lot of motivation coming into that. You were so close to getting it the first time. I think they're capable of walking in there and winning. Carolina is a great team. It will take a lot. But, and then Arkansas coming here, I think so much emotion in that game. You can throw the records out the door. Trevon Brazil coming back is obviously going to be a big deal. But there's going to be a lot kind of riding on the line in those couple of games. A&M's just going to be, it's going to be tough. They went into Reed Arena last year with a much better team and still kind of got punked. So I'll be interested to see, at least physically, how have they responded from tonight against Florida, where dominating on the glass. Gators talked post game about how that was their focus all week, was being the more physical team. So we'll see on that front. And wrapping it up, we'll think long term. This entire season, the outlook. Realistically, what the best case scenario, and where we'll go, yes, best case, ideal. Realistically, what happens? I'm ruling NCAA tournament. You cannot give me NCAA tournament right now. Realistically, is NIT still in the cards? If not, what still constitute a successful season from this point forward, even if it doesn't involve the postseason?
I'm already thinking long term in January.
Yeah, we are.
Don't love that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think the best thing, if they don't make any tournaments, I think the best thing they can possibly do, that's like out of the possible things, that's the furthest to the ground, mm-hmm. is show that you still have a foundation for future success. Even if it's something as small in the post game, Nick Honor and Tamar Bates walk in, they sit down. Tamar's head is down. Nick looks pretty sad. Mm-hmm. Dennis Gates fist pumps every single person in the room, goes up to the stand, tells Nick Honor and Tamar Bates to sit up and put their elbows on the table.
Yep.
It can be something as small as that, but that shows that we talk about in so many sports, culture, 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 culture. That's real. That's a real thing that you can sell people on. Obviously, it starts with Dennis Gates. And even how he talks about being 0-5 in SEC play, you look at Nick Honor saying, like, we're right there. Mm-hmm. We're okay. Not airing any frustrations, continuing to play for each other, not complaining about roles. It's very small stuff, but at least from what I've seen so far, this is what Mizzou has prided themselves on mm-hmm. since Dennis Gates got here. And if you can look strong while being this bad, if I'm a recruit, like, it's going to be, if I can go there and make it better mm-hmm. with this kind of culture, cool. I thought I felt so good about that. Mm-hmm. And then I got to the 1 yard line and then I fumbled a little bit.
Sorry.
I felt very philosophical there, but, okay. Sometimes we don't have our best days. Anyway, Jaden, please save me.
Okay. You know, I've said this kind of off camera. NIT's not out possibly, but here's what I want to see. I kind of want this feeling of this adversity, you know, and these results that they're not getting. I kind of want that in a way to stick kind of in the stomach and minds of the players that are going to be back next year. It's kind of like the football team this previous season. They talked about how being in all those close games, not getting the results they wanted, it fueled them going into the next season. And I kind of want that feeling. I don't want those. And of course they're not, you know, but just have that motivation and still play confident and hard this year, especially for the players going into next season, if that makes sense to all y'all. But, you know, I just want them to keep playing hard every game. You know, it's a down year. It's a down year. I mean, it happens. Mike Anderson's second season after going 18-12, I believe they went 500. They went to the Elite Eight the next year, you know. So it's a rough season, you know, trying to get through the tough waters. But, you know, just I want these younger players and anyone that's coming back next year, just kind of just learn it and let it learn what this season is teaching them and just kind of let it sink in and, you know, use that motivation going into next year. But, you know, this team could get hot at any time and, you know, have a little run in SEC tournament play and get an NIT bid, which I would say would kind of save the season. But, you know, we don't know yet. We'll see over these next three games, like you said.
Yeah, and I think it's in that same vein, for me at least, and this is from an external perspective, but I want to see a moment or moments in this season where all of the, you know, current, really, adversity and struggle that this team is going through and all the negative noise that they are hearing, that it all seems, you know, at least somewhat worth it, that they have a sort of full circle moment where it's like, we went through a lot, and yeah, we didn't accomplish all our goals, but we pulled off this upset win, or, you know, we went on a little run in the SEC tournament, or, you know, we just were playing so much better as a team at the end of the season. Something to hang your hat on at the end of the year. You just can't end this one with this recruiting class coming in and the hype that's going to more than likely build around it. You would hate to end this season on a sour note, and have the offseason kind of be this mixed jumble of, yes, you have this all these freshmen coming in, but are there other issues within the program that, you know, maybe were masked by, you know, some Kobe Brown last season? And maybe we didn't realize that until this season came along. So I think another quick point I'll make before we wrap up as well is, as Dennis Gates pointed out many times, he is still a very young coach. And I would argue, and we talked about it earlier tonight as well, he will learn twice as much, if not three times as much, more about himself as a coach and his program through this season than he did last season. And it will only benefit this program and himself in the long term. So, moral victories, nobody ever wants to hear about them, but there's plenty of them to still be had within this program. That being said, that wraps up another episode of Rockin' Reacts. We'll more than likely be back with one post-game after Arkansas next week. For Quinn, Jaden, and Parker, that's all.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into Rock M Radio, a proud partner of Fans First Sports Network. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more just like it beamed directly into your personal device, just click the subscribe button below. And you can find this podcast through the Apple Podcasts app or for iPhone or the Google Podcasts app for Android or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. We are also available on Spotify. Just search for Rock M Radio. And if you like other sports, Fans First Sports Network is a podcast network that has coverage of all other teams, Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, whatever you want to listen and read about. It is a great, great network full of really fantastic podcasts. So look them up and subscribe to any and all of those podcasts. Rock M Radio will be back with more episodes coming soon. Thanks. We'll be right back.